key role in that. Yeah, thank you. My brothers and sisters, I want to move on with the... I had a thought of starting another message here, but I felt I need to move on. I'm going to do one more message probably before Christmas here, and then we'll move on, continue the series after New Year. But on my series on rightly dividing the word of truth, after my last message, I felt that I need to back up a little bit as we talked of eternal security and how we are eternally secure in the theology of conditional eternal security. And while God's love is unconditional, while His grace is completely unmerited, and while He said, I will never leave you, never will I forsake you, there is also the other facet of you are bought with a price, and therefore you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him who purchased you. You are His possession, so therefore there is a responsibility that comes back on our part. We do not receive the blank check of eternal security. It is an ownership thing. And so today's message is kind of going to go around that concept. And I want to dig back a little bit and go into... I mentioned justification in a previous message, and I listed a whole bunch of the Christian facets. But I also I want to tie this together with sanctification. So, rightly dividing the Word of Truth series, we want to discuss the two facets of our salvation, two facets that are incredibly key, incredibly important to becoming all that Christ wants us to be. And while I'll be just, again, it's doctrine, and so it's hard to, when we talk of doctrines, we're basically trying to investigate what the Word of God is teaching us. And as those truths get cemented into our inner being, we begin to be changed by them. So the themes of justification and sanctification are incredibly profound for the Christian. When I look at Christianity, when I look at my own life and our walk here as a church and my fellow believers that I've been in contact with over the past 20 years and the non-believers, you kind of see there is a misunderstanding. There is either a misunderstanding or there is no understanding of those two fundamental concepts. Because we have, on the one hand, we have this God's people trying desperately to live a sanctified life. And so they live lives comparing themselves with others. They live lives trying to be a little holier than their neighbor, trying to do things a little more right and being more, just trying to be more pious, you know, drink less coffee, take less, deny themselves. We have a camp of people of God's people that are like that. And so they live lives of comparison, and they live lives of comparing themselves with others. Some of them become Pharisaical, and they judge others, and they look down on others. In the next breath, they also live lives of condemnation, where they never feel adequate. They never feel like they belong. And on the other hand, we have the group of people who understand the concept of justification, but not sanctification. And so their lives don't reflect a resurrected Jesus Christ. They know they've been forgiven. They know they belong. They know they've been bought with a price. But yet, their lives remain largely unchanged. And so God does not get glory from either of those two camps of people. And when we look at Christianity, we find the majority of them falling into those two camps. The majority of them being into either set on justification or either set on trying to be sanctified. But they go together. They are the two concepts that are a part of our eternal salvation. And so I don't want to bring controversy, as I said before. My job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, as is written, with grace and truth. So we'll first address justification, then sanctification, and then we'll compare them, and contrast them. So justification again, let's go to Romans 5, verse 6 to 11. You see the beautiful verse here that we see God's unbelievable love. Well, the term justification is God. Let's read it first. Romans 5, verse 6 to 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. Now this is a fundamental, this again is an essential doctrine of salvation. And the reason I want to bring it in is because it's kind of to seal all the teaching of the essential doctrines I've done up till this point. Because I'm moving on to the deeper theology going forward. When we look at this passage here in Romans 5, we see several important truths about justification. First, we were ungodly and powerless. The Bible just makes it a statement. We were ungodly and powerless. We did absolutely nothing for God, that God would set his love on us and save us. We were sinners, and it also says we were enemies. And for those people is whom Christ died. And then he says we were justified by his blood. So what does justification mean? The term justification in the Bible is termed legally, or as we know, modern terminology is forensically. We are legally, it's an act of God by which we who are unrighteous in ourselves are nevertheless declared righteous while still in a sinning state. We are declared righteous while still in a sinning state. All God needs from a sinner is to repent and believe. You have not. We do absolutely zero to cause God to set his love on us. All the two elements is turn from your sin and believe. What God said of me is true, and what God did with his Son. Justification is a deliverance from the penalty of sin and is a past action for all believers accomplished by Christ at the cross. Paul summarizes the concept of justification and says, so then through one, that's in Romans 5, 18, it's further down in the book here, in the chapter. So then, as one through one transgression, which Adam's sin, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, that's Jesus on the cross, there resulted a justification of life for all men. To justify means God declares us righteous. It is God's act by which he pronounces us free of guilt. He pronounces us completely justified, as if you and I had never sinned, and so it's completely and fully a work of God. Properly understood, justification is God's what God declares about us, not any change within the sinner. Yes, we've changed, because what you know what changes us? When God sheds His love abroad in our hearts, we are so humiliated. We are so broken by that He would actually pour out His love on me, that we weep. That He could see such value in me and declare me righteous when I know for a fact that I am in big, big trouble. And so God declares Him. It doesn't make us holy. It simply declares us to be not guilty before God, and therefore treats us as holy. The actual change to holiness in a sinner occurs through sanctification, which is related but distinct. So the key passages are Romans 3. That's just a chapter back here. Not a key passage of justification here. Is Romans 3, 20, 30, 24. 3:24. He again says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins in our past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him who believed in Jesus. And then he says, where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That is an essential doctrine that so many in conservative believing churches don't fully understand. That apart from any works, apart from anything we've done, God declares us completely free from sin, completely righteous, completely forgiven, washed, and sanctified. Sanctified, that is a positional place. So we cannot earn justification through rule-keeping or our good works. It is made possible in the sanctifying sacrificial death of Christ, and it is a free gift and of a gracious gift of God bestowed on those who receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so it demonstrates God's righteousness. Number one, the remission of the penalty of sin, which was death. 1 Peter 2:24, who in His own self bare our sins on His body, on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And this is nothing new. We've preached this here before, but I'm going through this series, and I want to establish that justification is apart from sanctification, but yet related to it. So we get restored to God's favor through justification, which we lost through our sin. And number three, Christ's righteousness gets imputed to us, as I said in a previous message. He takes our robe of filth, and that's what we saw on Calvary. That's what we saw when Jesus hung on the tree. Our robe of filth hanging there. Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. That's he took ours, and then He gave us His beautiful, pure robe of righteousness. And it's hard to fathom, even for me, being a Christian for 30 years now, almost. Hard to fathom how this is possible, and even how this can be fair, and how it's just. And I've tried many times to try and put words to it, and how to fully appreciate what justification really means, and how God can declare you and I completely righteous without any part on our place except faith and repentance. And the answer is, justification does not excuse our sin. Justification does not excuse our sin, ignore our sin, or endorse our sin. In fact, our sin is fully punished. Christ taking the sins of us. Where it says, or in the just for the unjust, and through his stripes we are healed. We know that verse very well in Isaiah 53. Our sin is fully punished as Christ becomes our substitute, because God's wrath was satisfied in Christ. We are completely free from condemnation, as it is written in Romans 8:1. And so God remains just, as we've written here, as we read here in Romans 3. God remains completely true, and yet can completely justify us. We don't have to pay for our sins, as we see here in earth. We want everyone to pay for their sins when somebody murders or does something bad. Or in down here, we want them to pay. We want them off the streets. We want them in jail. And when somebody breaks a law here, we want them to own up to it. And now he gives us this robe of righteousness, just like he did the prodigal son to his father. The father, when the father saw his son coming from a great way off, he said, "Come, give him, bring him the best robe. Put it on him and clothe him," and said, "Let's make a feast. My son was dead, is now alive." That is the picture of justification. When we come to sanctification comes from the Greek word had. I don't know Greek. It's just, I don't know how to pronounce it. Hagiosmas. I tried to run it over my head a few times at home, but I still didn't get it. Hagesmos. And which means set apart, holy, righteous. The Greek word. It has three. The same word is used in holiness, for holiness in the Bible. It's used for sanctification, and it's used for being set apart. So those three words mean this one word. Hagismos, there it is. That youth, and then he says, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Here's sanctification, the meaning of sanctification. So scripturally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And in Hebrews 12, verse 14, we read the same thing. Follow peace with all men and holiness. There's the same word, sanctification and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So sanctification, again, is now a very powerful term as well, when it comes to our overall salvation. Sanctification then means we are set apart for the purpose for which God originally intended us to be, which we lost back in the garden. So now through sanctification, God now sets us apart to become what he intended us to be from the very beginning. So sanctification is not an act of God declaring us righteous, but rather, it is a continual process, mark those words, by which God is actually making us righteous. Sanctification is the deliverance from the power of sin and is a present and continuous process in the believers as we become Christ-like day by day as the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And so the word sanctification has many references in Scripture. For instance, 2 Corinthians 6:17, we get this set apart term. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. And the picture I get from this sanctification is where God delivered, when the Israelites put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts in Egypt, he said, "I will spare you from the death of the firstborn, from the judgment on Egypt." that blood spared him. And we interpret that today as Christ's blood sparing us from wrath, sparing us from judgment. But the very next day, he said to them, up and what? Out of Egypt. Separate yourselves from ungodliness. Walk away from the influence of ungodliness. That is then the process, and the wilderness journey that the Israelites made is the process of being sanctified, sanctification, of growing more into the vessel that God wanted them to be. He imparts justification on us and declares us completely pure, righteous, untouched, as if we had never sinned in all our lives. But we know we still sin. Inside, not much. We change, but inside, we still see those issues. And Second Corinthians 7:1, we have another verse that says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. These verses put the responsibility back on us as Christians. They put the responsibility on our shoulders that we are to walk away from the flesh. We are to fight, when he says perfecting holiness is a process that takes place in our hearts. That's the meaning of sanctification. It is a separation, a physical separation between ourselves and sin. Because you and I cannot just go on sinning and call God our Father. We cannot even make excuses for our sin and say, that's just the way I am. Oh, that's the way I was brought up. My parents or my circumstances that made me angry or that makes me who I am. That is a clear sign we don't understand the process of sanctification. It is not. We must learn as God's people. For sanctification to happen in us, we must learn to take full ownership and full responsibility for our choices. That as human beings, we still sin. We get angry. Although God declares us righteous positionally, we still have those issues in us. That what they basically do is they temper and they hinder and they water down the powerful work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And whenever we manifest them, we are simply declaring that we need sanctification. We're certainly not there. And so we need to learn to take full responsibility and look for the areas where God wants us to grow in. As it says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. So our prayer needs to be for sanctification. Our prayer needs to be, search me, O God, and try my heart. Pursue me and see if there's any wicked way in me. We actually, the path of sanctification, we ask God to expose the heart conditions. We ask God to expose the selfishness in us. We ask him to reveal our pride. We ask him to reveal our ego, our arrogance, and those characteristics that our neighbors see them all the time. We somehow make excuses for them. And so we pursue that. And another beautiful verse that talks of it is in John 17, but I read first 2 Corinthians 3:18 first. Paul says, we with open and unveiled faces, reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, which is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And as a child of God, being justified is an incredible thing. But it's almost like the flip side of the same coin, sanctification. That because we are justified, our entire life pursuit is to become now a sanctified vessel that fully meets the Master's use. And so when I look at my own heart and there's pride, that I've refused to release some pride in my life, whether it's from the gifts that I have or my ministry, and I refuse to let it go, or recognition, and I refuse to fight it. That's right there is where God cannot get set me apart for the purpose for which He called me to be initially. And so I need to mortify that in my heart in order for that sanctification process to keep on working. The most beautiful, if you want to know what Jesus thinks of that, read His high priestly prayer. Here's where we get the heart of Jesus. Here's where we understand what He is really after. And He says in verse 13 in His prayer, He prays, "And now I come to Thee, and those things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world." God never wants to take us out of the world. He wants to use us for the purpose for which He created us down here. So sometimes we get caught away in the Protestant evangelical mindset that every song ends up when we all get to heaven. The last verse in every song, it's all about heaven and the future glory. Which is a wonderful thing. But I don't want to die tomorrow. And I don't think you want to either. We want to live here. What do we want to do down here? Just live? Just exist? Just make money? We want to be set apart for the purposes for which He created us. And so Jesus says, "I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world." You have been set apart. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Clearly we see that's a process. Thy word is truth. "As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so I send them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." So the ultimate result for our sanctification, brothers and sisters, is what is written in Romans 8, 29 and 30. A verse that I've preached here many times. "For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, them He also glorified." We see Jesus praying. Sanctification and sanctification differ in ways. Justification addresses the guilt of our sin. But sanctification addresses the dominion and the corruption of sin in our lives. Justification is God declaring the sinner righteous. But sanctification is God renewing and transforming your whole person. Your mind, your will, your affections, your behavior, your attitudes. And that's a process that is evident. When we are justified by grace, the people around us, they might see our glowing face, but they have no track record of us being children of God. We have nothing to bring them. But when we are being sanctified, people can't help but notice. It is evident by what comes out as Christ refines us on the inside. In justification, our own works have no place at all. And simple faith in Christ is the needful thing. But in sanctification, our own works are of vast importance. And God bids us to what? Fight the good fight of faith. He bids us to watch and pray. He bids us to fight and war, as the brother mentioned in his opening, as the armor of faith. He bids us to pray. He bids us to strive. He bids us to take pains and labor the things that Paul said as the Holy Spirit is working in me mightily. But if you do these things and you don't understand that you are positionally right with God, this work and this labor becomes a chore. It becomes a literal exercise in futility. You must, sanctification is a process that works out of justification. You don't need to make yourself right with God. You are right with God, and because you are right with God, you pursue the cross to become more like Christ. Justification is the act of God about us, and is not easily discerned by others. Sanctification is the work of God within us, and cannot be hid. Justification happens outside of you, God doing it. Sanctification happens inside of you. Justification is a one-time act. Sanctification is a continuous process. Justification releases us from the penalty of sin. Sanctification releases us from the power of sin. That is how God works in us. Both justification and sanctification are parts of our eternal salvation. Justification has no degrees. We are either justified or we're not. Because it's God did it. Sanctification has degrees. You grow in Christ's likeness. Justification happens when God declares a sinner righteous. Sanctification happens when God makes the believing sinner righteous. And so as one thing that comes to my mind when I think of that journey is that sanctification is a community process. Justification is one and you, one God with you. Just sanctification is a community project. Because you and I never grow in a vacuum, in solitary. We never grow in the graces of Christ without some connection to people. And you need to be so connected to those people that you can't fail out when God corners you. It's like in marriage. You can't bail out of the of it. And so God uses our relationships, church relationship, marriage relationship, work relationships, to sanctify us. He uses the people in our lives and the circumstances in our lives to sanctify us. And when we learn, and when we are open to His leading and teaching, as the brother mentioned in his opening, we see God trying to sanctify us through our brothers and sisters and our everyday circumstances. We see God not condemned when we failed and done something bad, or we've had a bad attitude and we just spit some venom at someone. It was God just revealing to us that He wants to sanctify us. We don't need to go and condemn ourselves for that. We just need to take ownership of it and don't blame anyone else for it. That's where the Christians go wrong so many times, and so God cannot do that sanctifying work in us. We blame people for making us angry. Good one. We blame the world and the porn industry for making us lust. Good one. No, you don't. We go there. We choose to let our eyes wander and not allow ourselves to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We blame circumstances. No. God cannot sanctify us if we keep doing that. We blame leadership. We blame government. We blame anything but ourselves. And so God, the sanctifying work stops right there. As one guy said, I'd be a better Christian if it weren't for you guys. Or girls, or ladies. That's a classic cop-out. That's classic. God brings us into those people's lives, and God brings those people into our lives to sanctify us. So we never need to feel condemned. If you and I can bail out of those areas when God is trying to corner us, God never gets to do the sanctifying process. He says, I met you. I, through the Holy Spirit, I revealed something in your heart, and you did not do, you did not, you bailed out of it. The character traits that Christ showed and demonstrated and wants us to refine and develop can only happen in committed brotherhood relationships. And that is why that God invented the church. He knew we were sinners. So even though it positionally justifies us, He wants us to grow us corporately in the body of Christ. That's why He made us, made the body of Christ. To grow us from our attitudes and from our self-will, from our, to break our pride and all those other characteristics that just muddy the beautiful image of Jesus. The other person sees it when we get rage and angry. The other person sees it when we have a cocky, arrogant attitude. The other person sees it when we refuse to take ownership. The other people around us see it when we blame. They see it when we are selfish, when we're lazy. They see those things. We need to take ownership of them. And that's how sanctification changes us. Through the, as we open book, look into the mirror of God's word, and then look at, and then ask God to say, "Search me, O God." Sanctifying happens in our sanctification happens in our lives. So that's the challenge. This is a doctrine, the doctrine of sanctification, one that's been largely ignored in the West, and this idea that we're justified and we have a ticket to heaven has done more harm to the church than good. We need to take both facets. But don't get caught on sanctification only. We need justification in order to grow in sanctification. Because if we only pursue sanctification without the full knowledge of justification, we will be condemning ourselves day after day. We'll be getting ourselves down. We'll be allowing the devil to access our hearts and throw us into a loop. That's also not of God's will. It's not God's will. You and I can do nothing. When we sin, we can do nothing to make ourselves, to undo the sin. We can only take full ownership of it and say, "That's me, Lord. I don't want to be like this. Can you change me? Can you make me a better person? Can you change my heart? Can you change my attitudes? Lord, I want to be changed," instead of pushing it from us. And so, brothers and sisters, are we being sanctified? We've been Christians for many years. Yeah, some of us anyway. Close here, little challenge. We've been Christians for many years. Think of the attitudes you had 10 years ago. Have they changed? Or 5? And God has done a sanctifying work. Think of the pride and the arrogance in your heart. Has any of it changed? Think of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life that you pursue every waking moment that you have spare time. Has that changed? Have those priorities shifted to more kingdom of God? If they haven't, there's no sanctification happening. And I know exactly why. We're justifying. We are not looking inward. We are looking outward and blaming circumstances, people, and whatever. And that's not God's will for us. And so sanctification doesn't happen. Sanctifying happens through the process we have just described. And so are we more forgiving today than we were 5 or 4 years ago or 1 year ago? Can we overlook? Can we bear others' burdens? And so fulfill the love of Christ. Is there more humility in our hearts, in our talk, in our walk? Do people notice that we're more humble? Or do they see us as people looking for recognition? Looking to be the biggest, the wisest, the smartest, the most clever. Are we less worldly? Because there is this is something that we don't have to walk away from the world. God separated us unto Himself. What our goal is and our pursuit is to walk up that escalator that's going down. We are automatically separating us from the world. We are walking away from the world. We are, because we are walking to God. to the kingdom of God, to his righteousness. Are you more in love with God's word today than you were last year or 5 years ago? Are you more victorious in overcoming lusts and passions? A lot of those things don't happen overnight, but if we're being sanctified, they happen. They happen. They change. And thus, we become changed. Are we more generous today than we were a year ago, or two, or five? Or are we still stingy as ever? Do we more willingly submit ourselves to our circumstances, to authority, to the role God has for us today than we did in the past? If we are, God is doing a work. God is sanctifying us. And so you are, as the song goes, you are working in our waiting. You are sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Do we fight less against people and circumstances? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself make you completely holy, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept entirely blameless. Wow. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Praise the Lord for these words here this morning. They really challenged my heart. See, that's the problem with Christianity all over the world. It sort of gets stuck with justification. You just don't move past it. And there are these two facets, justification and sanctification, like the brother already said. It's like 2 feet when we're walking. If we're jumping out here, we're off balance. We're not doing nothing right if we jump around on 1 foot. But if you walk, justification, sanctification, you just keep walking. But I was reminded of this verse here. I think you read a little bit of it here. In 2 Corinthians 6, sanctification. He says to the Corinthians here in 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? If we're justified, well, let's get out of there. Let's get out. If we got justified from our past, let's go to the future. And that's sanctification. Or in the present. Actually, the past, present, and future is, I think, is how you really actually look at it. The past is justified, the future is sanctified, and the present is sanctification, and the future is actually glorified when you're in heaven. That's actually how it works. And he says here, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part had he that believed with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are temples of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate unto the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. What an invitation. And then in chapter 7, he says something interesting, right? I think that verse actually belongs right after this. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us. See, it's our job now. It's now our job. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Isn't that beautiful? See, we got a job to do. It's not we're justified, okay, you're on the way to heaven. No, sanctification is a big responsibility. Sure, we need to have the Holy Spirit. That's why we need prayer too. That's what the brother had in his opening. That was really, I also want to comment on that, that it's very powerful and very meaningful. Prayer is one of the biggest weapons. If we lose, like he said, in a day, bad day, we find ourselves not having victory, well, that's the reason. We lost out. We didn't take the army with us. We didn't pray for the Holy Spirit to help us. So yeah, that was powerful words here this morning and really touched me. And prayer is also a discipline. All Christian things we do, we got to learn ourselves how to discipline, to get into the Word, to study, to pray. We have to make a constant, conscious decision to do it. You know, while we were down, and I had a few brothers, two or three, you know, come up and just ask me, how come I got nothing to share or nothing to say? I said, hey, the reason you can't is because you're empty. Put a little gas in there. Put some gas in the tank. You know, if I start talking about farming, if I get in contact with another farmer up at the show, I can talk for a whole hour, you know, about farming and how to do it. And if you get in contact with a hunter or a fisher, you can talk like forever. Why can't we talk? Why can't people talk and share from God's Word? Because they're not in it the way they should be. It's the way it is. If you've got nothing to give, if you've got nothing to share to God's people or to the brother or to somebody, well, get in there. God's got the Holy Spirit will give you something. Yeah, so brothers and sisters, we need to discipline ourselves and more like, you know, for prayer. That was a powerful opening. God bless you.
Thank you. Just want to see here this morning, I'm very blessed and challenged by the messages. But one thing that really, how should I say, is a challenge for me, is what the brother said here. When we don't understand that when we rub each other the wrong way and bring out the worst in each other, it's that actually by design. And God is showing each one of us what's in the one that's doing it, that he's not following God's commandment. And for me, if I'm rubbed the wrong way, why am I still getting angry? Why, if you've still got an anger issue, why are you all these kinds of things? So it works on both him that's doing wrong and him that is wrong. And if we rob ourselves each other in this way, it's supposed to sanctify us.
Iron sharpens iron.
And for me, that's a challenge. Something that's, we don't, when we're in it, we don't realize it. And we just have to make each other aware of these situations. I got mad, why? Because you wronged me? Maybe. But I got angry because there's still anger in my heart. So that's the challenge of being sanctified. For me anyway. There are probably thousands of different ways that we are sanctified. But that's one that challenges me. So thank you, brothers.